Scripture reading this evening will be from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
Good evening. How are you all this evening? In my imagination, this is going to be a short lesson so that we can get on with our task. And the lesson is entitled Tasks. And it's about the idea that there are things that we must do to take care of the business of the church. And of course, a congregational meeting is one of those things that we've been tasked with, I think actually by the government, that we meet certain standards and of accountability in this way, that something we must do. So I thought, well, let's make a little lesson about some of the ways tasks were handled in the scriptures. And so to begin with, we could see that right after the ascension, you remember over the last several weeks we've talked about the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, the sending of the Spirit. When was the baptism that Jesus and his apostles taught available? When did it start happening? And all of those things. And so I'm just jumping back just a few lines to the day of the ascension. After the ascension, they went back to Jerusalem and they realized that they had some task to take care of. It says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet." This is Acts chapter 1, 12 through 14. "The mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered this city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James." These were the ones who Jesus had given a great task to, that they would be the apostles that were sent into the world. But one is missing from their number because he has gone out and hanged himself after betraying the Son of God. And it says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers." And then God had some business for these men to take care of. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, it says, and these are the words of Peter, I believe, it says, "Therefore it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they put forward 2 men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And those are the words of Peter. And that was, I believe, something that God put on his heart, a task that must be taken care of. It says they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these 2 you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And so we find that they were given criteria on how to select this man. It had to be someone who was with them from the baptism of John. And so we can see this group of men together, that many of them had been disciples of John the Immerser, who then became disciples of Jesus, and they were together from that early time on. And you might suspect that these men, Matthias and Justus, were men who had Barsabbas and Matthias, were men who had been with Jesus, probably in the upper room where they were having what we call the Last Supper, and out into the garden, and even at the arrest of Jesus. We could suspect that these men were among that group, and certainly among the 120 that we find in Acts chapter 1. And so they were given that criteria, and within those parameters, they made a choice of two men, and then the Lord showed them which one of the two. So when men do what God has given them to do, then we see in this case God helping them in their task. And I believe it's still true today that if we will do things the way God wants us to do things, that God will help us in our task. In Acts chapter 2, 40 through 42, after the preaching of the gospel, after the falling of the Spirit upon the apostles that had been promised by Jesus to them, it says, with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received the word, his word, were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And so we see what we call the beginning of the church, those who were baptized into Christ. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And again, that's something that we also do today and should do, devote ourselves to the teaching that the apostles gave, because it is the teaching that Jesus gave them to give, and devote ourselves to fellowship to one another, being a part of the body of Christ in all aspects as much as we're able to participate without neglecting that, and also to breaking bread and prayer. Now, breaking bread is disputed as to what does that mean the Lord's Supper? Does that mean breaking bread from house to house as a common meal? And the answer is probably yes, all of the above. And we should do those things together because we love each other and want to be closer to each other, and we honor our Lord and want to strengthen and encourage each other to stay faithful to Him. They cared and they shared God's good things and perfect gifts with one another. Our lesson this morning, God is the giver of all good things and every perfect gift. And in Acts chapter 4, 32 through 35, we see them still gathered together in Jerusalem, and we find that it actually takes persecution of the magnitude that Saul himself could bring with his small army of police to come and arrest those who were following Christ and going various places and causing trouble in the church in Acts chapter 8. But here in chapter 4, they're still in Jerusalem, and it says the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. That's unity. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. That's unity. But all things were common property to them. That's unity. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Now, again, these were people who already knew about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they were continually being reminded of that, as well as anybody who might be in contact with that group could also learn about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and become baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins and part of the body that was functioning there. Abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. What can we do here in our congregation? Actually, I believe the answer is it's limitless. Limitless. As long as we follow God and try to do our best, reach out to others, keep preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, keep maintaining fellowship and love with one another, it's limitless. Because God can bless what we do if we do it to His glory and in His name. They also shared the work to accomplish the tasks. Over in Acts chapter 6, we find that one of the problems arose early in the church. Well, there was some of covetousness earlier, we know. But here's one of the problems that had to do with some grumbling and complaining. And we know we don't want to go there because, hey, we can see the example of that in the days of Moses and the people coming out of Egypt, and we don't want to go there because we don't need to walk aimlessly in the wilderness for 40 years and then not get into the promised land, amen. And so we don't want to go there. And so these kind of things need to be taken care of. And so it's a task that needs to be done. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews, that's the Jews that were of a Greek culture, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So there's a little rub between these two groups. Well, you were raised like a Greek, you know. You were raised in not the traditional manner. You know, so there's a little rub between these two groups. And the Grecian widows are not getting taken care of the way they should be. They're getting overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples. The 12, again, being those men we read about in Acts chapter 1. They summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." So the apostles had some important work to do, while others could do the work that others were able to do that wasn't the work of the apostles. And that's the way it is in the church too. I mean, we all have different talents and abilities and functions and purposes, male and female. In the body of Christ, there are things for all of us to do. "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, this is the word of the apostles. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. So it seems like kind of like a congregational meeting in a sense, but with full recognition that the apostles were in charge, amen? But yet the congregation was brought into the situation of solving this problem. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So we've seen in this process the selection of a person to replace Judas, the selection of men to take care of this task. In both cases, it had to be men who were spiritually minded. It had to be men who understood what they were doing. It had to be men who could be trusted. It had to be men who had a proven track record of doing things in a godly and right manner. Every congregation has tasks to tend to. When we tend them well, it gives us more time to devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. As a result, the word of God will keep on spreading, and the number of disciples may greatly increase. Our congregational meeting following this worship service is an example of our provision for taking care of the tasks of this congregation. 1 Peter 4:10, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The word of God is the seed that is planted in the mind of the listener to allow that one to choose if he or she wants to become a disciple. Acts 6:7, "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." In the same manner that later we would find in Acts chapter 8, people recognizing the difference between Simon the sorcerer's magic and Philip's works of God, people here that were priests who had not yet accepted the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and repented and been baptized, were now doing that as the word of God kept being spread and increasing discipleship and causing disciples to make decisions to be baptized into Christ. Being a disciple is a choice each person must make for himself or for herself. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me. Now these people were already his disciples, you see. They were following him. They maybe had left John and started following Jesus. Maybe they had seen Jesus and his other followers as they passed by, and they were following. And he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, that's like step number two, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And let me remind you again that in the first century, a cross was for no other purpose than to die upon. So he says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So again, it's a choice that even a disciple must make to elevate his status from a fringe follower to someone who has given all to follow Jesus. A baptized disciple who stays faithful will be ready when the Lord returns in judgment to take his own and send the rest away. Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Day of judgment is coming. If we are his disciples, if we are baptized disciples, if we are faithful baptized disciples, we can get to go with him for eternity into a place where we want to be instead of to a place where nobody ought to want to be. So I asked the question, what is a disciple? Because it said that, you know, things were increasing in that regard. And so what is a disciple? Who is a disciple? Acts chapter 19, 1 through 5, according to Luke, who we take to be inspired of God in his writing, it says, it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Now here are people that are called disciples, but not yet baptized into Christ. Doesn't mean that they're saved. It just means they're learning to follow Jesus. That's what a disciple is, a learner and a follower. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And we studied about that before, that the Spirit would not be given until Jesus had returned to the Father. And we could see that 40 days after his death, he returned to the Father, after his resurrection, he returned to the Father, and 50 days after his death, he sent the Spirit to the apostles, and they baptized people who would then receive the indwelling gift of the Spirit of God. But these guys hadn't done that. They still just had the baptism of John. They were trying to follow Jesus, but they hadn't completed their task. He said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe that at that point they received the indwelling of the Spirit, and I think we have many passages of Scripture that would indicate that to be true, but then it also says that Paul laid hands on them, and being an apostle, he had the ability to give them the empowering of the gifts of the Spirit, which they would not be able to give to anybody else because they weren't apostles, but then we see that in the following Scriptures. So, who is a disciple? It can just be somebody who's learning to follow Jesus, or it can be somebody who's ready to go to heaven when the Lord comes again. Jesus, with authority, spoke the following words. He has not changed them in nearly 2,000 years, and he would be the only one who would have the authority to do so, he or God. There's no indication that he will change them even to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And in regard to being a disciple, we see here that a disciple is the one whom you baptize. A person first needs to be willing to follow Jesus. A person needs to be someone who is learning about Jesus and has learned enough to come to the point where that disciple is baptized into Jesus, and then if they stay faithful, they're ready when the Lord comes again. Luke chapter 9:23, we see this stress on staying faithful because Luke records a word that the others didn't record, that Jesus said you got to do this daily. And he was saying to them, all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A disciple must also remember to take up his cross every day. So, taking up our cross the day we're baptized, being crucified with Christ, being buried in baptism with him, rising to walk a new life with him, and every morning when we get up, we carry that cross on our shoulder. This is the end of the lesson this evening. This is our individual task. Our individual task that nobody can do for us. Man, woman, or older child, it's up to you to make the decision to follow Jesus. And let's remember that God has given each one of us abilities and talents, and that we should use those to his glory. And again, that's part of what our meeting this evening is about. If there's anything we can do to help you this evening, we offer you the opportunity to come and let us know how we can help you as we stand and as we sing.